Welcome, everybody, to the 40th episode of the Star Wars Report. You know what?
Man, we're getting old.
We're getting old. Star Wars, for an old podcast that just went over the hill, we sure do have a lot of excitement tonight.
Just a wee bit.
We're not even live, too. Usually it needs a lot more energy when you're recording live, but not this case. But yeah, 40 of these Star Wars Report podcast episodes, and we'll cross that 50 mark pretty soon. And then who knows how many we'll have by the end of this year, because we got Celebration coming up, and we'll be doing a bunch of shows then, and we'll get, like, the extra tick. Because I was noticing we had, like, 9 or 10 episodes going into Dragon Con or something like that, and then, boom, we almost doubled our episode count because of the daily coverage. And then we had fan days later, and we had coverage of that. So all in all told, I think by the end of this year, we'll be on that road to 100.
Then we'll be ancient.
Yes, welcome to the Star Wars Report.
What do you think is the longest running podcast ever?
Oh, there's a bunch of them. It's a term that's been around for a long time.
I'm not going to type because I know this microphone will pick it up.
Yes.
You just killed someone's ear. Actually, you just killed a bunch of ears.
Podcasting, as we know it, it came to the iTunes store in 2006. And there have been a bunch of... There's a number of them that have been doing it.
But, since then?
Yeah, yeah. But I guess okay. Leo Laporte and his Twit Network are one of the older ones. But I know there are people who've done it longer than he has. Yeah. But iTunes pioneered the idea of downloadable regular content. Speaking of downloadable content, and you mentioned a second ago, we probably sound a little bit different. Actually, substantially different. We're not in our typical studios. We're not live. In fact, Mark is not with us. It's just two of us. I'm Riley. That's like probably the longest intro ever. I'm Riley, for you, one of your hosts for this evening, and with me, as always, to each and every episode so far, is Bethany.
Hey guys, Bethany Blanton here. Happy to be on, as usual. Just talking to some fun Star Wars.
Yep, yeah, it's an odd feeling not being live. But we've got
not
a lot
having
of...
Mark around. See, I had this really interesting, fun Star Wars Expanded Universe story, but then I'm like, oh, but Mark's not here to talk Aww. About it with. So I actually, even though we're a weekly news show, I just moved it into next week's show notes and decided not to talk about it since he's not here.
Well, what was it? This is so weird. See, I feel like the digital audio recorder is sitting right smack between us, and it's not... And so it's just picking up the whole sound of the room. It's a different microphone, and it should be. I'm looking at it. It seems to be picking it up pretty well, but I feel like I should be holding something. It's all unnatural.
Yeah, we should have something in our ears and this massive
soundboard
behind us.
Like literally, I was playing the opening music out of the laptop speakers, and I hope that worked. So we've got a big show for you guys tonight. We've got a lot of news stories. Actually, hadn't looked at the show notes, and we've had a lot of different kinds of news pile up over the past couple weeks as we kind of focused. And that's something on the Star Wars Report where I like news, but it's definitely not my favorite part of the show. Yeah. I always like the discussions.
Why I really enjoyed talking about the Clone Wars with Teresa and Mark and Steve last episode.
That was a good one.
That was fun.
That was good when we interviewed the Duchess Satine. I feel horrible because Anna Graves.
Did you blank on her name just momentarily?
I did, and I looked at you, and you looked and said nothing.
And I grinned evilly while I said nothing.
Okay, so we've got all kinds of stuff. Let's begin with some rapid fire news. Click. Oh wait, I don't have the music.
Oh, so, I have to begin without music.
We have something to report. Over here. Help! Over here. Okay, there you go. That's your intro. And go.
Sorry, that was just kind of interesting. Red Tails comes to Blu-ray and DVD this spring. Be sure and pick up your copies at a local store or for digital download just in time for Memorial Day on May 22nd. I'm looking forward to that. I'd love to watch it with our dad. He wasn't...
Yeah, some good special features on that one as well.
Yeah, good special features.
Our good buddy Chris over at the Starlight Pit podcast has a next phase in Leia's journey. I'm sure you guys have been following it, but while Leia's journey has been a huge success so far and a blast to do, this is coming from Chris. We have a ton of people who want Leia to stop by for a visit, and Leia can only be in one place at a time. until now. What does that mean, you might be thinking? Well, we decided to add a new twist to Leia's journey for Baby Leia project. She will continue her journey as scheduled, but help with getting Leia to move more stops at more conventions. We're going forward with to open up Leia's journey to anyone who has a Princess Leia 12-inch action figure of their own. So you can get your own picture with your very own Leia as the Queen Leia, I guess, continues her journey around the convention circuit. I think she's going to PAX East next.
Yeah.
One of those crazy video game conferences.
Do you know if she's going to San Diego Comic Con?
I bet she is.
Surely someone there is willing to take her. If not, guys, someone take her to Comic Con. I know someone listening Comic-Con. Is going there. That would be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's go ahead and go into the actual regular news story. Some of the stuff that we've been talking about, I know.
So, remember when we covered rumors that the video game developer Spark Unlimited could be in the production of Battlefront 3?
Possibly, or maybe.
Possibly The Force Unleashed 3. Well, there are now more rumors about a third Battlefront game.
What?
Now remember.
Say it isn't so.
Star Wars Battlefront 2 was released back in late 2005. So if we can remember, it's been that long since the last Battlefront game has been out. But information received by Kotaku, I guess, from former LucasArts employees back in 2006 said, yes, Battlefront 3 is in fact in the creation process. At that time. That was back in 2006. Wait. And the game was then under development by Free Radical Design for a current generation system at the time.
This is six years ago.
And that was back in 2006.
Wow.
At some point along the line, it was shelved. And then after that, footage of the gameplay itself was leaked to IGN. From a former Free Radical Design developer, but LucasArts demanded its removal pretty much immediately. Like, yeah. they were on it within literally minutes.
I think. But I remember it going out.
Yeah.
And seeing it.
Mm-hmm. And after that, a fans kind of their hopes died. The last lonely memory of a sad Battlefront fan, but. Recently, official copyrights and licenses filed by Free Radical Design has staked a claim to the title Star Wars Battlefront 3. And they did it, actually, in competition to GameSpy and Steam, who have even started lobbying for the title. That's really interesting to me. But it's unsure right now whether Free Radical will continue or not, with the development or not.
Really? Because I thought they were like...
But remember what I said last time when we reported this, the people think the developer now, if the rumors are true, would be Spark Unlimited, not Free Radical. Because Spark Unlimited was meeting with Lucasfilm at that time.
Okay.
And fans put...
That's this past
fans
fall?
Connected all of the dots. Yeah, that was several weeks ago, a number of weeks ago.
Okay.
But people think now that Free Radical may have bought that title and then sold it to Spark Unlimited as Spark's next project.
That title being
Star Wars Battlefront 3.
Okay. Yes.
And of course, there's no official word on this right now.
No.
And that was from Entertainer.com. Now, this story is from inentertainment.co.uk. And they believe that it's possibly a next-generation Jedi Knight revival of the Jedi Knight games. Because there is a recent job advertisement posted online that gives them reason to believe that LucasArts could be developing a first-person shooter for a next-gen console.
LucasArts?
Yes.
Okay.
And that position would be senior core engineer, who has a long job description that I'm not going to read, but basically the end result is that the job advertisement reveals information for a first-person shooter title,
okay.
Which basically, if you put two to two together, you come out with a first-person shooter for a next-gen console. And LucasArts hasn't released a first-person shooter since Republic Commando back in 2005. So,
which was tied into the books, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Can
I just say this? Video game fans are crazy.
Yes, but I love how they put these dots together. I mean, I had to sit here and read all this for like 15 minutes to completely sort through it, because I'm not an avid video game fan and would not have known this myself. But anyway, it's interesting to me. I'd say there's definitely something in the works.
Well, I went as in with any case with video games, of course I went to LucasArts.com to see what they had to say about it, and clicked on the What's New button, and their last update in their latest releases is from April
of
4th.
Oh, okay. So this April, not last April.
Nope.
Okay. And what did they say?
2011. Rewind the tape.
Wait, what?
A year. Yep. Huh. So April 26th, sorry. And that was when they had just signed a multi-year studio with the Unreal Engine 3 people. Whatever that means, I have no idea what that means. But so considering their last update was a year ago, and what's hilarious is that I know that they went off through all those laying off employees and restructured the company and have really had nothing new since, what was it, Lego Star Wars 3? No. Force Unleashed 2? No. Well, I guess the Kinect game. More to come on that later in the program.
Yeah.
Let's see. So yeah, LucasArts.
What do you think? Just
I think you find it humorous, but I actually honestly, on some level, think that that's an awful amount of dedication for a company that has so much hatred in the video game fan community. It's almost like its own subversion of the George Lucas thing, where everybody's like TMZ reporters chasing down George Lucas saying, "We're in 7, 8, and 9," and then they do that, and George's like, "I'm retired." And the reporter's, like, chasing him to his car with his daughter pointing, shoving a camera in his face.
Actually, and that was
in the very article where that video is attached to on TMZ.com, it says, "Well, it looks like fans will be disappointed as there are no more Star Wars films, but hey, at least there won't be something Indiana Jones," and they got in there obligatory, "because nobody can survive a nuclear blast in a refrigerator, ha ha ha." And it's like, why are you pursuing this poor man and shoving a camera in his face, and then begging him, basically, on bended knees with camera hoisted shoulder.
See, they're not begging, they're actually pestering. They're molesting the poor guy when he's trying to meet with his daughter.
Who's ruining whose childhood? Anyway, so it's almost like another version of that, where anything I hear from any hardcore video game fan is like, "Meh, meh, LucasArts is terrible. Meh, meh, LucasArts didn't make anything good for
now." I think it may possibly also be the fact that there hasn't been a Battlefront 3 since back in 2005. I mean, there hasn't been any Battlefront game. Yeah, any Battlefront game since 2005. I think that actually shows a lot of dedication on the part of fans. They're really wanting to see it. So when your expectations, say that you're saying to yourself, Battlefront 3, news for Battlefront 3, I want to see Battlefront 3, and you're like, "Oh, the Force Unleashed is coming out. Well, that sounds interesting, but it's not Battlefront 3.
Yes.
Well, I'll play it. It's kind of fun. Battlefront 3,
no.
And news for the Force Unleashed 2.
The Force Unleashed 2 got a lot of complaints, but I think a lot of people liked it too.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I think it shows a fair amount of dedication to the company that you're willing to wait that long, or not happily wait, but you're willing to wait.
Well, just seeing the fan communities and the excitement around some different Star Wars projects, really the only one that I think that's really getting universal excitement around it that doesn't seem to get this horrible syndrome of hatred that everybody spews towards it from anything coming from Lucasfilms is the Clone Wars. And whether it's video games, or whether it, like the Kinect recently, which we'll talk about later in the show, or whether it's the live-action series, which people are just tired of hearing about, really, at this point.
There's a live-action series.
EU, yeah, there's always a backlash. whether it's the EU, there's always a backlash. Fate of the Jedi. Get it? See what I did there?
Yeah.
Backlash?
Okay. Sure. Well, see, here's the thing. I think that if you're a fan, you're not going to like every single aspect of the Star Wars universe because it's massive and because it comes in so many different forms. If you don't like video gaming, you probably aren't going to like most of the video games. If you don't like comic books, you probably aren't going to like most of the comics. If you don't like certain characters, you're not going to like the books with those characters in them. So, say I'm a diehard fan of the Battlefront franchise, which I really enjoy. But I'm not a diehard fan of it. because I enjoy other parts of Star Wars more. But say I'm that diehard fan, and I have been every week since 2005, I have been checking news for news about Battlefront 3. When I hear that they're spending hundreds of hours of work and hundreds of thousands of dollars on something else, all I can think of is, but they could be spending that on Battlefront 3.
Wow.
So there's this inward sense of disappointment.
Like, what are they spending it on that you're upset about? The Star Wars Kinect game, where I...
Yeah, and say I don't like the Star Wars Kinect game,
trying to put yourself in the place of people who are disappointed, or you yourself are disappointed?
I'm putting myself in the place of people who are disappointed. And yes,
you're not supposed to do that, though. You're supposed to shower your own opinion at everybody. You're not supposed to sympathize with anybody on the internet.
I didn't get that memo. No, but see, we're fans of other things. What if we found out that the Clone Wars was being dropped after season 5 because Lucasfilm wanted to focus on moving comics.
Motion comics.
Yeah, motion
then
comics.
I would be ticked off. Then I would be unhappy.
See?
Okay. Wait. You've done it. You've done it to me.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, I know we're being kind of facetious here, but... and I would like to see a Battlefront 3. I think that would be a lot of fun.
It would be way more interesting to me than the Kinect game. Mm. I'll tell you that. Which has gotten some very mixed reviews.
Yeah, that's been odd in and of itself.
Yeah.
So I think every fan wants Lucasfilm, LucasBooks, LucasArts to focus on what it likes. On what each individual fan community likes.
Okay.
Because there are different fan communities. We're not just...
Yeah.
We are one huge Star Wars fan community, but...
No.
But, broken up into that, there are all sorts of little sects and tiny communities and communities within communities.
Which are walled off at each other and are constantly throwing fiery catapult balls across the wall.
Something like that. But anyway, I think I can understand the disappointment of something. I would be very disappointed if Peter Jackson came out and said, well, we've been thinking about doing the Silmarillion after The Hobbit and doing a 6-hour miniseries of the Silmarillion, movie standard quality. But I decided not to because I want to do this horror movie, R-rated film, titled The Blood and Guts and Glory of So-and-So. I would be going...
Coming to theaters May 2013.
I would be saying... What? You ditched the Silmarillion for this?
It was like Guillermo del Toro ditched The Hobbit, and months later it actually did get up off the ground.
Yeah.
And went on to do his own thing, but yeah. Oh, quick note for the listeners. messaged Mark, like I said, is unable to join us, but he did send a message. He said, Tell our Bothans, in light of recent developments, Mark had to go to Kamino to oversee the latest upgrades to our Bothans Barty cylinders. All right.
Ooh.
Latest word from, we'll check back in with our field reporter, Mr. Hurlman, news at 11. All right. We got some more news. James Arnold Taylor and Ashley Eckstein return the sequels to host Star Wars Weekends. James Arnold Taylor.
Wait, can you be a sequel to yourself?
Well, we know people who lovingly refer to a fellow because he's named after his dad, Bill the Sequel. Changed the name there, but yeah, it's a thing. All right, they provide the voices of Obi-Wan and Ahsoka Tano. Never knew that. I love these press releases, by the way. Like we don't know.
It's those ones where you skip the whole first paragraph.
They had an intern write it. He's like, oh, who does he play? Okay, Obi-Wan Kenobi. They will join Star Wars Weekends at Walt Disney World for the duration of the 2012 event in their host roles.
Yay!
All right.
Also on StarWars.com, there's this really cute, and yes, I choose the word cute, picture of them in Mickey Mouse hats that just had me rolling.
That did it for you, didn't it?
Yes, it was really... That almost had me just buy tickets to Star Wars Weekends right there.
Okay, well, and the reason I threw this in is just to throw this out to you randomly, but wouldn't it be cool if as my knee bumps the recorder. Wouldn't it be cool if...
And all 500 listeners just went, ah!
Oh, don't worry. I'll level the audio. They won't hear the thing.
Oh, okay.
We'll fix it in post. Wouldn't it be cool if we could go to Star Wars Weekends? Would you want to go to one of them if it was possible? I mean, I guess it's...
That would be fun, but we do have so many other plans on our schedules.
I know.
It's going to be like a month and a half where you will be gone.
Yes. Yes. I mean, there's... I've got... My summer is rapidly getting completely booked at this point. And so is my... So is the end half of April. Goodness. Where's all the time going? It would be nice, though. It's not
where
until then.
Where have all the good time's gone?
It would be in... I think the first one's in May. And it's just the four weekends in May is what I think. Or one weekend in June. I'm not sure how that works. It'd be cool, though. And I keep hearing about it each year, and I know that... Well, we are in the southeast, kinda.
Kinda, sorta.
But Florida is so long.
Yeah.
We're gonna make the trek to Celebration, and we're looking at like hotels to book, etc. earlier today, and I was just realizing that's a long car drive.
Long, long.
Forever is a long time.
Oh, wow. Listeners, if you get that, send an email. I will be
impressed. I know
impressed.
Somebody named Teresa just got that.
Yes.
my goodness. Fox and the Hound reference.
Oh, you gave it away.
Okay. You knew like two people got that.
Yeah, but I was curious to see which two people they were.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, moving along.
Moving on.
Guess what? There is a life-size Darth Malkus figure, or statue, or whatever you would call something that huge. Statue, yes.
Monument.
Monument. coming out. It's going to be about $6,000.
Okay.
And so if you sink that amount of money, that's a trip to New Zealand and back, literally.
That's a down payment on a house. Let's play this game. What could you buy for $6,000? I could buy a new car.
A boat.
A used car, anyway. A boat. A sailboat. There we go.
Or even our own little motorboat, and that way we could go skiing and doing water sports on our own.
8 months of rent in the Chattanooga area. A year's tuition at Georgia Tech University. I mean, and the life-size Darth Malkus figure.
So for that amount of money, you could sink into life-size, very realistic-looking Darth Malkus figure. You would just put it up in your room. It would be standing over there in the corner. Every time you walked into the room, of course, it would be the dominating thing in your room, just because, Darth Awesome himself glaring at you with a lightsaber.
For 300 years.
Yes. Anyway, that is just begging for any horror movie scenario to come alive right there in your bedroom. In the middle of the night, you hear a...
Wouldn't you be terrified?
And then you hear this voice come on, and he says,
"You were deceived."
And then the movie cuts, and it's and blood splatters everywhere.
Well, wouldn't you be terrified? You're sitting in your room, and that any minute a Republic shuttle is just gonna go through the side of your house.
Yes. Oh, goodness.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Life-size done.
Wow.
Where do I buy?
Not going to happen. If you put that thing in the house, I am moving out and never doing the show again.
Well, it was good for you just joining us the 40th episode. We'll be, All right. CBS blocks production of a Star Trek fan film. No, yeah, that's right. You heard me right. We are actually covering a Star Trek movie.
It's the Star Trek report, people, butting in again.
All right. It was a geek's dream come true. A lost Star Trek script found by writer Norman Spinrad was found. And if the news weren't exciting enough, it's going to be produced by a couple of experienced fan filmmakers and directed by Spinrad himself. But like so many Star Trek-based dreams, like the ones the Tell directed, it may not become reality. No!
Bethany's glaring at me because she loves that song and I'm singing over it.
You didn't have to tell them that I love a Star Trek song.
It's Giacchino. He's a great composer. By the way, that 2009 Star Trek movie was great.
I know.
Side note. So yes, as I said, kind of haltingly, and I'll restate it. So there's a lost script of a Star Trek episode from the original series.
The Doomsday Machine.
It was the writer of the episode Doomsday Machine. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big Trekkie, so I have no idea what he's talking about. And this is relevant.
And the writer himself would have directed this episode.
Spinrad.
With fan filmmakers. That would have been amazing. Why was it blocked?
All right. Well, the New York Times bears the bad news and the bad tidings. CBS, which owns the rights to the script of the episode titled He Walked Among Us, is blocking the not-for-profit fan-made production. So let's get some background. This comes from Forbes.com. Wow. Spinrad's story is about a man who established himself as the ruler of a planet in defiance of the Federation's prime directive, which specifies non-interference with developing cultures. Even I knew that. Written as a dramatic piece for comedian Milton Berle. There's a Star Wars connection. Isn't Milton Berle, wasn't he in the holiday special? Where do I know that name? Milton Berle.
Okay.
All right, now I'm completely distracted. Passed away in 2002. What was he in?
Well, he was an American comedian and actor, of course.
No.
And
born in 1908. Known for It's a Mad World, Hey Abbott. Oh, is that Abbott and Costello? No. I have no idea. The Love Boat. Yeah. Herbie. No, that's the TV series, I think. I don't know. I have no idea what I'm doing. I just got confused. Anyway, I know that name.
Oh, he was in The Mark of Zorro. We watched that.
That's right.
That ancient Zorro movie.
Yes, I remember.
Back from 1920.
So it was a dramatic piece written for Milton Berle, and the script had gone through some massive rewrites. Spinrad wrote on his blog that he personally asked Gene Roddenberry to, quote, kill the story. Spinrad, who was paid $5,000 in 1967 for his... Wow, that's a lot of money back then. For his work, lost track of the script, but found it again after a fan gave him a copy in October 2011.
I love how the fans actually can keep track
of
things better.
So I got a copy of your
creators.
Script there. Do I get $5,000? All right. CBS has emailed a cease and desist to the fan film company Phase 2, which has produced some extremely high-quality fan films with many of Star Trek's original actors and writers. And so the episode called He Walked Among Us is deader than a Denovan flying pancake after exposure to UV light. I have no idea.
That was from an original Star Trek episode.
Okay, gotcha. Sure.
They infect you and they can only be killed by UV light.
What's funny is that I'm on the other side of when anytime someone says, so it's deader than Greedo and Mos Eisley's Cantina. You know, when they do like the thing, that would be the Star Wars version and I would just groan. All that's so obvious. But, of course, I have no idea what they're talking about now. This is not the only cease and desist that CBS has issued. Spinrad received one as well.
Wow. Because
he Walked Among Us for sale on Amazon, but recently pulled it due to CBS's wishes. Did the sale of the script online threaten the fan film? Did Spinrad wake the wrath of CBS's intellectual property attorneys? I spoke with attorney Harold Feld. Who I interviewed previously, and he said that the sale of the script may not have had any impact on the fan film. It's not easy to see why Norman Spinrad, in good faith, said, I wrote this, is my work, and I have copyright to it. And he's not wrong in that he has certain rights to it, but the fact that he has rights isn't enough, because CBS also has rights. So basically this is how it works. I've no doubt that he acted in good faith and genuinely believes that he has the copyright to the material, and again, he probably does, but the way copyright law works... good faith is not enough.
Oh, I get it. So basically, CBS is now, quote, considering opportunities to offer licensed copies of the work.
That is a quote, yes. So considering opportunities to offer licensed copies.
So basically...
charge the fans.
Basically, they stopped him from selling his copy, and they stopped the fan film from making their fan film because they want to sell copies of the script. But why would the fan film threaten that in any way?
I don't know, but anyway... here's an excerpt from a New York Times article. Other fans pointed out that Phase 2 has already produced an unused script by David Gerrold, author of the humorous 1967 episode Trouble with Tribbles, and in 1987 his Blood and Fire was shelved by the Star Trek Next Generation, and he reworked it and directed it for Phase 2 in 2007 and never heard any objections. So they have done this kind of thing before. He says, "I don't understand CBS's thinking at all," says Gerrold. They didn't care then, why would they care now?
Yeah, where's the difference?
And Gerald poses a good question, and one that really has me puzzled. Feld said, "Rights holders have their rights. In fact, the fact that CBS has not gone after everybody in the world in a way doesn't mean that they've waived their rights to the intellectual property surrounding the Star Trek franchise." So it seems like the intellectual property holders can and do assert their rights just basically when they feel like it. Here's an excerpt from the New York Times. "We fully appreciate and respect the passion and creativity of the Star Trek fan and creative companies," said CBS in a statement. "This is simply a case of protecting our copyrighted material, and a situation has been amicably resolved. Amicable for them, perhaps, but not for those of us who won't be seeing the episode."
And that story was actually from Forbes.com.
Yep, Forbes.
Now, you may be asking yourselves, why are they talking about a Star Trek fan film? I thought that this was quite interesting because a number of people have complained about George Lucas, Lucasfilm, LucasArts, the Star Wars movies, yeah. Star Wars franchise, Star Wars books, Star Wars comics, Star Wars video games. Wherever there have been fans who've liked one thing, there have also been fans who've complained about the same thing, and vice versa. And I just thought, isn't it nice, though, that we have a company like Lucasfilm, with a creator like George Lucas, who won't chase down every single fan site, fan podcast, fan mm-hmm. film, fan art, and fan creator of an Etsy store, and sue them and shut them down and send them cease and desist letters. And
yeah.
Basically be tyrannical copyright holders. So I was just kind of contrasting that with, I'm not saying CBS is that way.
They are.
But you don't see that kind of story about Lucasfilm.
No, let's call it like it is. CBS and television networks are really overprotective of their copyright material, and they don't actually usually give it a chance, and they always produce television to the lowest common denominator. Now, let's talk about modern television. A series like Awake, which recently premiered NBC, like the ultimate NBC canceller of shows. Well, actually, Fox is pretty bad, too. But they premiered, what was it, The Event, last year that they mm-hmm. just canceled it. But it's interesting because they wonder why
Battlestar Blood and Chrome canceled.
Yeah, and that's sci-fi.
Yeah, but
that's a whole other thing.
Cancellation of shows that seem like
it's like
could be interesting.
The best storytelling and the best shows are always put up on the chopping block because they have to appeal to the masses of the lowest common denominator. So they make stuff, they manufacture shows like Two and a Half Men and think, oh, that's hilarious, we'll get Ashton Kutcher and he'll be funny for every single episode for another 7 years. Let's keep doing it. Hyper-formulaic, very poor storytelling to where you can't do that. And you have networks like HBO with Game of Thrones, who actually are faithful to the source material. They don't care that they have 10,000 subscribers to HBO. I'm just throwing out numbers. Because all 10,000 of those subscribers are paying a premium for quality content instead of watching stupid toothbrush ads.
And they're loyal, dedicated fans who will support the network.
Yeah.
But I disagree with you. I think that TVs and movies have, to some degree, lessened in quality because they're trying to find that common denominator. I won't call it the lowest common denominator. I disagree with you there. I will call it a common denominator in you try to write something that's formulaic because you want to appeal to every demographic that you can possibly appeal to. But the internet has taught us that that may not be the best way to do things.
Yeah.
Because if you appeal to a niche audience, that niche audience may be 10,000, 50,000, 100,000, or even 1 million fans. How many people attend San Diego Comic-Con, I wonder?
A lot.
A lot of people. Those are all science fiction and fantasy fans.
Well,
How many action fans are out there? So basically what I'm saying is, when you try to appeal to the broadest possible audience, you start seeing the same stuff over and over again. You start seeing the boy meets girl over and over again. You start
like,
seeing
like how many romantic comedies have to do we have to see with Gwyneth Paltrow and Rachel McAdams where they're always the same plot every single time.
And then you'll have a few that are innovative. But I think TV's gotten quite interesting recently. You have shows
That's
like
true.
Supernatural, shows like Nikita, shows like Being Human, shows like Game of Thrones, shows like The Walking Dead.
Well,
sorry,
although, kind of... see, TV is substantially better than Hollywood in terms of this, because Hollywood's the worst about it. But TV is better, because you have different networks doing different things. Mm-hmm. I guess, when I think in the modern era, a TV series doesn't really need to be 12, 10 seasons. And I think, you know, shows like Smallville were, but I think that's the end of an era where, instead of saying, we're going to try to do a series that just has that perfect hit, it has 30,000 viewers every time it airs, each week, live. No DVRs, no Hulu, no nothing. It's got to be live. So like with Star Trek, it's a very popular series. But think, what did we watch growing up? The Lone Ranger, Bonanza, Andy Griffith Show. That's what we watched as kids. Mr. Rogers, even. Those are very formulaic shows that are very repetitive in themes. Gilligan's Island, it doesn't get much more formulaic than that.
True.
We got to get off the island. And so shows like Lost, Supernatural, Smallville, I think they're the end of an era. And that's why I think Clone Wars just struggles in this way, because you need a show that I think needs two or three seasons that is plotted out and comes to an end. Then maybe if you want to do a spin-off series or take something in a new direction. But you can't just keep momentum going in the same direction for years and years years anymore.
If I might add, I know that you don't know a whole lot about the show Supernatural, but Mark and I have talked a little bit about it before.
No, Mark, you need Mark on.
Mark has watched it and he's told me about it before. But basically, Supernatural starts with a sort of a monster of the week formula. Two brothers, they go out and they hunt the evil bad monsters and they save people.
Okay.
And they're in the beginning, they're trying to find the monster that killed their mother when they were little. And their dad is in the show as well. So that's kind of, there's an overarching theme there. It's not a huge save the world from evil bad guy Loki type theme. But then along about season two or so, I don't remember exactly, but a little ways into the show, they start running into this odd theme of bad guys who they can't quite figure out. And basically, it all winds up with there is a huge overarching plot that it lasts for several seasons and then ends in season 6.
Okay.
The show is now in season 7. Season 7 has started off with a new story arc. So okay. Basically, it's like part 2.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm talking about. I don't know anything about it, but let me
they actually, they accomplished that.
Let's put this on Star Wars then.
Yeah.
Clone Wars. The Clone Wars really struggles because they're anything but formulaic, but they're also anything but having like an overarching plot of any kind. They just literally go into each episode and it's something
we may be saving different. Twi'leks on a beautiful planet here. Then we're
getting
gone
a
back.
Bubble bath. They're going the Wizard of Oz. Then it goes back to Savage Press. The Savage Press, Asajj Ventress, Bounty Hunter / Sith / Night Sister arc is the best thing that they have, and they need to plot a season 5 that consistently goes on that direction, or even just 3 directions. Just narrow it down to 3, and then follow the Bounty Hunters and Boba. Follow the clones and Anakin and Obi-Wan.
Well, let me question you with this. See, I know you loved the Tales of the Bounty Hunters book.
Yeah.
That wasn't an overarching themed one-story novel. That was a book of short stories about different people that followed different paths.
No.
Why doesn't the Clone Wars work like that for you personally?
Well, the premise is not quite right. It is very, each of those stories is very interconnected and cross paths on multiple points. So
of the book or the Clone Wars?
Tells of the Bounty Hunters. The stories cross paths and intersect quite a bit.
But that happens in the Clone Wars. Like Asajj Ventress.
Not in the same way, no. It does. There are 2 or 3 plots that are doing that, but everything else is not. Mm-hmm. So the Clone Wars is the best thing coming from Lucasfilm right now, is in my opinion. It just is. It's the action, the adventure, the characters, the fun, the 22 minutes... it's just lighthearted fun that Star Wars is supposed to be, And that's why I enjoy it the most. That's what I most closely follow in the Star Wars franchise right now. And when I go to Celebration, I'm not interested in Dark Horse's announcement of the next comic series. I'm interested in Season 5 of the Clone Wars. That's just me. That's just my taste. But there are areas where I think the Clone Wars can improve. And having said all that, Star Trek... Oh, I clicked the wrong thing. Star Trek, not really the same as Star Wars and franchise, but I think it's kind of cute how many people, whenever something vaguely could possibly that could happen against George Lucas, as far as fan films or fan projects go, everybody immediately, the blame lands squarely in George Lucas's lap. Whereas with this is just proof that a corporation like CBS doesn't handle the material as well as an individual like George Lucas over Lucasfilm would handle the
Star Wars franchise. Adiwan's Star Wars fan films were pulled from YouTube, but that was not done by Lucasfilm
and everybody or George Lucas. Thought it was too.
Yeah, and the first assumption was that. But that was done by 20th Century Fox, right?
Yes,
yeah.
By Fox.
That was pulled by Fox, since Fox still has the rights to those films.
And since Fox released the Blu-rays, which have something very similar to it, because they can't come up with original material.
Because Adiwan, by his lonesome, managed to make an amazing version of the Star Wars films. I wonder if everybody who redid the Blu-rays went and watched Adiwan's version first.
I don't know.
To sit the Adiwan's version and the Blu-ray versions. I mean, I know that they haven't... Just be interesting to compare them side by side and see what happens there. Sorry, I'm kind of tripping over my tongue right now.
Nope, that's all right. That's all right. We kind of, really wondered on that particular one.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been a good one for an after show. That kind of was the after show.
But anyway, end point being, I'm glad that Lucasfilm isn't a rather tyrannical, overzealous
copyright. That is nice. It is nice to be doing this podcast, you know?
Yeah. And not have a cease and desist letter come our way the second we start. Ding dong!
What's that? A letter. Hey. All right. Let's move to feedback. We've got some emails from you guys. This one comes from Magnus, either from Sweden or with the last name of Sweden. I'm not sure which.
Sweden.
Hello, Riley and Bethany. I'm from Sweden. Okay. No, I will not.
I don't think you can do a Swedish accent.
No, I cannot. That is where it will stop. In the latest episode, you speculated about how many seasons of the Clone Wars Lucasfilm Animation might produce.
10.
I used to think that they're going to make 6 seasons, but after looking at the production numbers, I think there will be season 7, 8, and 9. Now, Bethany, I know this email had you very confused. Allow me to enlighten you as to how this is how his math is working. All right, officially, each season will consists of 22 episodes, but for some reason, they've produced 26 episodes every season. If they continue doing this, season 5 will consist of 12 episodes produced for season 4. And 10 episodes produced for season 5. Season 6 will consist of 16 episodes produced for season 5, and only 6 episodes produced for season 6. This means that they'll produce 26 episodes for season 6, and that they'll move with 20 of them into season 7, and the Clone Wars is only 3 years long, so it will be very hard to fit all the episodes of the Clone Wars plus all the EU material together, but I'm sure that they're going to make it work somehow. See? Clear. Clear as mud.
You lost me.
It reads a little easier than when I say it out loud. Basically, what he's saying is that they began with production number, and on the websites, I remember they're saying production number such and such, production number. This is produced for season 4, and they're actually airing it in season 3. So I think he's done the math behind the scenes saying that. They had 4 extra episodes because it's 22 episodes of season 1 plus 4 for the movie. Right?
Yeah.
So you go to season 2 and they have 4 extra. Season 3, 8 extra. Season 4. If they keep doing that, they're stockpiling episodes at the end.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense to me at all, by the way. Why would you not just air the episodes? Unless they're just not ready.
No. What I think he may mean then is that they've moved along with the plots more quickly, and that they've aired them more quickly by making it into a movie.
Sure.
By airing several at a time. Basically, instead of, say they had planned for a 10-episode season, but they're moving along really well, so they decide, hey, why not just make it a 12-episode season and pull in those two episodes we started on for the next one? So basically that they're moving along faster.
Because my personal theory is that once George Lucas decides to wrap up the series, they will have another movie that will lead into the Revenge of the Sith. Then they might replace the Clone Wars with another series called Star Wars: The Dark Times, featuring Ahsoka and other fugitives on the run from the Empire. It would make sense since they already have resources like models and textures that they can use. Keep up the good work, Magnus. Now,
interesting. Or that what you call Star Wars: The Dark Times could be the live action show.
Exactly. I think that's what he's implying, is that they leave the live action series on the shelf and use animation.
Yeah, remember we were talking to the rest of our staff the other day.
Sure.
And they were saying, why not ditch the live part of the live action series and do another series like the Clone Wars that's set in that time?
Star Wars action news. Wait a second, that's taken. great podcast, by the way. All right, but yes, you know, Magnus, from your lips to George Lucas's ears, I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it happen. All right, we got one more email.
Okay, this email comes in from Eric.
Ooh, that's a long one. That's a good one.
Duhamel, and he talks about the new Star Wars Kinect. Actually, he bought
whole
bundle as well as the Kinect.
I'm gonna get the some water Xbox while you read this email, by the way. I'm gonna
seriously
just get, no,
you're,
my
you're leaving me alone.
No,
with
I'm right over here. I'm going to clear my throat and get ready for after this email.
There you go. It's all yours.
I'm staring at the recorder now. Don't die, recorder. So, Eric, let's hit it off. My wife and I pre-ordered the limited edition Star Wars Xbox 360 bundle with the Kinect, and we received it in the mail this week. Here's a description of what we got in the bundle. The new Xbox 360 console and this limited edition is stylized to have markings similar to R2-D2 from Star Wars, and it makes R2 unit sounds when you press the power or disc buttons. The disc tray has the words, "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope," on it, much like the message Luke found when poking at R2 for the first time.
Oh, I see what they're doing there.
R2's manufacturer, Industrial Automaton, has its brand emblazoned on the case. The power ring light is colored blue. The Kinect sensor is a normal-looking white sensor, but with the markings on the Xbox, it gives the impression that this could be R2's eyes. The Kinect sensor, as far as I know, has three lenses, one infrared emitter, one infrared sensor, and one normal photoreceptor. When first turned on, the Xbox and Kinect go through a setup process to make sure that the sensor is mounted in the correct place and the play area is adequate. It familiarizes you with where to stand and how to gesture, and makes a few orchestral sounds to make sure it can hear the acoustics and voices in the room well. Once the Xbox is ready to use. On the main menu is a small picture-in-picture is displayed in the lower right corner of the screen with a grainy black-and-white real-time video image of the room as the Kinect senses it, lending to the impression that the Xbox, aka R2, is watching us. It recognizes humanoid forms in the room and highlights the location of everyone's hand in a white glow. It responds when someone waves by emitting a tone, highlighting the person in violet and prompting them for gestures. It responds when someone says Xbox and recognizes words fluently to activate commands.
You fought with my father in the Clone Wars.
To recognize words fluently to activate commands and apps. It even tries to recognize faces. We have not tried the included Kinect Star Wars game quite yet, but I'll let you guys know what it's like when I do.
Hmm.
Regarding the Kinect, I think all they need to do is put some motors and treads on the Xbox and give it a
big price tag is what they're talking about there.
Okay. And perhaps Asteroids will come back in style since they stopped making them, quote,
a long time ago.
I'm looking forward to the next Star Wars report tonight. Eric Duhamel.
Well, we're sorry we're not live, Eric, but thank you for your email. That's a good review. The actual cool Star Wars themed Xbox kind of got drowned in the fanboy anger of the Xbox video. It's the weirdest things go viral when it comes to Star Wars. It's like you have the things that you always see on the fan sites, and then like that some of them hit the mainstream We need a name, Bethany. Let's brainstorm a second here. We got a few minutes on our clock. Let's brainstorm. We need a name for the mainstream stream geek sites that aren't really...
They've
gone to the dark side, as it were. I mean, nothing against IO9 or Kotaku or whatever, you know, but those are big for-profit, big fat sites that are really well-known. We need, like, that tier, because you have the blogs that are smaller, look like, frankly, us, and then you have the big dogs when it comes to geek news. We need a name.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
I'm not coming up with anything.
The power bloggers, no. Anyway.
Mainstream geek.
It's like our version of the mainstream geek media. So I'm just going to call it that. It's just not really catchy. I don't think that's going to catch on. But the mainstream geek media, when they pick up Star Wars stories, it's always the ones that are negative and always the ones that are controversial. Well, of course, because they want people to click on it. So, so when a video services of Han Solo getting down in Cloud City with Lando, which I think is perfectly realistic, by the way.
I'm Han Solo.
I wonder if MC Chris got a little check there.
I don't know, but that I like MC Chris, and I was familiar with that song before this video went viral. But the YouTube comments on this video on YouTube, they were hilarious. Everything from "aha, this is hilarious" to "my second childhood is ruined."
My 15th childhood.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting reaction because I'm thinking, how on earth could anyone take this seriously? For me personally, it's more like just a complete goofy, funny thing that you're just supposed to.
People just took it way too seriously. Although, as I look at the video now, it has
how many hits?
87,000 hits. It's not exactly like this. So let me read this. This is gonna be good stuff. There's the top comment right now with 13 thumbs ups. Okay, that's it. That is the last agonizing straw. Mr. Lucas, you know, because George Lucas actually hand-animated this video, as you know. I could tolerate Ewoks. I could even tolerate Jar Jar. I could bear... He had a lot of A's. They tolerate midichlorians and the Star Wars Christmas special and Anakin being whiny. I'm kind of having to clean up this comment actually a little bit for air. But this is it. This is... I'm not going to put words in his mouth. I'll wait till after the comment. I now relinquish you from your title as creator of the series and implore you to... I'm trying to read it seriously. And implore you to no longer... and that you are no longer allowed any input into the Star Wars canon. Now go retire, murder Indiana Jones some more, and let the expanded universe authors fix things. Bleep.
Okay, I just want to say something. I can understand someone not liking it, like if they want to take the game seriously, which I'm not sure I would take a Kinect game very seriously.
No.
It's like a Wii game. You're supposed to come on the Wii, and you have your little avatar, and you run around the bicycle, and you jump over things. So I wouldn't take the Kinect.
Let me say this.
No, wait. I'm not sure why people took this very seriously.
Really?
Because it seemed like a complete gag.
I'd say I was surprised, but I'm not, because this hit the mainstream geek sites, so it goes viral, and all the hate boys, as they've been not so affectionately called by some people, surface. But listen, I mean, the ignorance is astonishing toward us 26, whatever your name is, where he said, "This is the last agonizing straw, Mr. Lucas." Like, George Lucas, I doubt, even knows this exists.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking about that.
And you know what, sir? You could not, once you turned your bitter, as you became a bitter old adult, you couldn't tolerate Ewoks. You couldn't tolerate Jar Jar or the midichlorians or Anakin. You couldn't tolerate it, sir, because you grew up and can no longer appreciate the fact that Star Wars, you know what, isn't really meant to be taken that seriously, says the guy who does a podcast on it each week. Wow. It's amazing to me. So that's all I'll say on the matter. At this point, I pretty much just find it humorous. And as I tweeted earlier, you know, I would find it I would be surprised, but you know, at this point, not really, not at all. Any thoughts?
Yes. I don't know why they think that George Lucas would know of this. Because he is fairly heavily involved in the plot of the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
He was pretty heavily involved in The Force Unleashed. But he's not that involved in games like the Kinect or the Lego games.
Not really.
Or the books or the comics.
No, really. No. Newsflash. He is retired! Goodness! That's the...
I don't know. He may be one of those people who he'll say he's retired, then he's going to come back, and he's going to retire again, and he's going to come back.
You never know.
So, yeah.
Sing it,
MC. I can see both sides, but what I don't see is why you would take it seriously. I love MC Chris's songs about Star Wars, but because they're funny.
Yeah. That's for the same reason I like Robot Chicken. Yeah,
because it's funny.
Because they're funny. They're just having fun with your characters.
Podcast it's like
it's the wrong podcast.
Sorry.
Entertaining, educational, and ranting. This is the Star Wars Report podcast. Well played.
Oh goodness.
So yes, after saying all that, I mean, at this point, I try not to really take it too seriously. There would have been a time where I would have been a little bit more upset than I am right now, but at this point,
yeah,
it just gets
see,
to be.
That's what I don't understand either. I'm not really upset. I just find it kind of puzzling. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
I just thought it was kind of funny and moved on, and then suddenly I found out there's this kind of uproar going on.
Yeah.
I watched the video, I think, oh, that's funny.
Get back down!
Back when it just had a couple thousand hits, I'm like, oh, wow, and see Chris's song was picked, and then I moved on, and then 3 hours later I logged onto Twitter, and there's this veritable firestorm of comments on it, and I was like, are they talking about that Han Solo video? They
Basically.
Are. They are?
So say,
they are.
I love
what?
How they have
Guess
like
what?
They
Guess
have
what?
Moves like the double blaster and the chewy hug in this game.
Guess what?
What's that?
There's also a video of Boba Fett dancing in this game.
I am Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. Boba Fett.
Yep. So apparently that's not the only dance theme you can do. So.
Wow.
I love how Club Jade put it. More hilarious Star Wars Kinect dancing. Clutch your pearls, fanboys.
Clutch your pearls.
Oh, dunk.
Oh, that's good stuff. Well, yeah, there's everything. There's all kinds of things. I think one of my favorite ones was actually the the YMCA one. And this is the one with Boba Fett. It's the YMCA only said it's Empire Today. I was going to do it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Now we will go proceed to watch all these related videos in YouTube and lose the rest of our evening watching the Kinect videos. So...
Goodness.
If you want to email us, send us an email, starwarsreport@gmail.com. That's the way to do it.
Tell us what you think of the Kinect game. Silly?
Yeah.
Humorous? Annoying?
Obnoxious?
Angering. Whatever
George
you think
Lucas
about
George Lucas should die.
It.
Again.
No.
Preferably not.
Preferably
They're doing
not.
The double blaster move now.
That sounds vaguely
creepy. Go to starwarsreport.com. Find us on Facebook, Star Wars Report. Twitter.com/StarWarsReport. Find me at the Riley Guy on Twitter, Bethany.
At ALN1.
Yeah, there you go. And what am I forgetting? iTunes. Leave us some iTunes reviews. That'd be cool. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. But don't give your opinion of the Kinect game or George Lucas or us. Just 5 stars. That'd be nice.
Just wow, you're just a wee bit selective.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Seriously, thanks guys for tuning in. That's going to be it. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks
I have no idea what I'm saying.
In.
This Henry.
Just thanks for tuning
in. I'm losing any cohesive words.
Uh-huh.
Word. Night. Goodbye. Yeah. It's so great to be in the Empire today. Woohoo! Empire today. I love Bethany that this video actually has way more likes than the dislike ratio. People, for some reason, love the Boba Fett YMCA video, but the Han Solo, that's just too much. That's it. Good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning into this episode. We'll be back next week live Thursday nights. Remember, 8 p.m. Eastern, Middle Earth Network Radio. We'll talk to you guys soon. And, ooh, I almost forgot. Minnie Bothans died to bring you this podcast.